I don't know the exact number of visitations and funerals I've been to in my life, but I can tell you that if I could come up with a number that was accurate, it would be a really big number. What I can tell you is I did a little research, went back in my files and figured out this week that over the course of my time in ministry, I have preached 139 funerals. And my first full year in ministry alone, I did 28. I participated in 28 funerals. So if you add all of that stuff together and then you think about the ones that I went to as a kid growing up and the ones I've just attended and not actually participated in, I have been around the block and I've had a lot of conversations. And thinking of all of that, whether it's talking to people at a visitation or standing around at a graveside after a funeral is over, I can't tell you how many times I have heard somebody say about the deceased something like, well, if Sally Sue, or if Joe, or if Johnny doesn't make it into heaven, then the rest of us don't have a chance. Have you ever heard anybody heard something like that? I bet almost everybody in this room has heard something like that. Well, if so-and-so didn't make it into heaven, then nobody is going to make it into heaven. Now, most of the time, I think it's simply a way to say something in an uncomfortable situation. You're looking for something to say. You're standing around at a graveside or at a visitation. It's a way to affirm that the deceased was a good person. It's a way to say that his or her character was impeccable, that they did a lot of great things, and that they lived their life in such a way that the world around them was a better place because they were in it. But you can't get around the fact that there is also a theological message in that whole statement, that if so-and-so didn't make it into heaven, then nobody's going to make it. It's not even a subtle message. It's blatant. And the message is, there is no doubt about the eternal destination of the deceased because they were so good. And by extension of that, if you'll follow their example, and if you're just nice enough, or if you just do enough good deeds, if you make a positive enough impact in the world around you, then when your life is over, you'll get to heaven too. Well, what about that? To return to our theme of this series that we've been in for the last few weeks, when it comes to the message that good people go to heaven, because that is the implication of that, good people go to heaven, when it comes to that message, is that real news or is that fake news? To explore this question, we're going to look in the New Testament to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 2. I'll start with verse 1. Here's what Paul says. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I'd like for you to help me on this All Saints Sunday, and I'd like for you to do that by turning to a couple of people around you, and you can deliver this message with a little sass if you want to, but the message is, your hope is in goodness, but it's not yours. Can you do that for me? Your hope is in goodness, but it's not yours. Of course he didn't, but it almost seems like Paul wrote this part of the letter to the Ephesians to answer our question about good people going to heaven. Now I can just hear Paul saying, good people? You think you're good people? No. Verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Come on, Paul. It's early on a Sunday morning to be talking like that. I mean, sometimes Paul can be a real downer. But that doesn't mean he's not right. Paul's like, in case you were under any illusion that you are good, let me dispel that. Once you were dead because of how bad you were, because of your disobedience and your many sins, and those many sins are a problem, and they created a rift between you and our God. And then verse 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All, not a few, not some, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Paul doesn't mince words. It's not a terribly comfortable thought, but what I can tell you is that Paul is extremely consistent in all of his correspondence with the earliest Christian churches. All the churches he writes letters to, whether he founded those churches and started them or whether he's just trying to teach and correct the Christians who are in those churches, all of his correspondence are very, very consistent. And the message is, all of us, every single one of us is a sinner. Now, I might think I'm a good person, but Paul has news for me. And it's not terribly good news in the front end, because that news is I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. Paul's message is your core nature has a defect. And we all have it. Every last one of us has the capacity for evil. Every last one of us has the capacity to commit sins. And here's how he says it in Romans 3. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, we all have this sinful nature, this predisposition to rebel against God's love, to rebel against God's best for us, for God's will for us. We all have a proclivity toward evil and sin. And according to Paul, that is our default. So if you were able to travel back in time and have a conversation with Paul, and you delivered to him this news, good people go to heaven, then Paul would promptly respond, then heaven will be empty. Actually, what Paul might say is, that's rubbish. Good people go to heaven. That's fake news. Nobody can ever be good enough. That's not a contest we can win. We can't earn salvation. We can't repair our relationship with God on our own. If it were solely up to us, without help, we would be up a creek without a paddle. But, thank goodness there's a but. Verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Paul's like, good people go to heaven. That's fake news. But let me give you some good news, because fake news is not good news. Let me give you some good news. The good news is God is so rich in mercy and he has loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. And just in case that didn't sink in deep enough, Paul continues on in verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And then, in the climactic verses of this entire passage, Paul says, God, not you, not your good deeds, not your inherent goodness, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift, not a wage, not an award. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation from our sin and brokenness and the power of death cannot be earned by good deeds. It cannot be earned by making a positive impact and being a world changer. All those are good things, but we can't earn salvation by being a good person. That's just not how it works. Grace is completely a gift that is freely given to those who will just receive it. Yesterday, we celebrated a big birthday for my firstborn. 15 years. Hard to believe. It's breaking my heart that she went to get a driver's permit yesterday. I don't like it one little bit. But I can tell you this, from the moment I found out she was on the way, I have loved that girl. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Before she was even born, certainly before she had a chance to do anything that could have possibly even resembled earning it, I have loved that girl. We have loved her. And it's a love that is a fierce kind of love. It's indescribable. When she was in utero, I felt like an idiot sometimes reading children's books to her while she was still in the womb. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we were doing because we loved her so much. And from the very first moment that I felt the kick, I knew that I would do anything in this world to protect her. Whatever the cost, I would do anything. Even if the cost was my life. I knew that if she were ever in trouble, if she were ever sick or hurt, I would move heaven and earth to rescue her. And if you're a parent, you know what kind of love I'm talking about. And that is a drop in the bucket compared to the love of God for us. And when God saw us in trouble, when God saw us sin sick and broken, God decided to do whatever it took. No matter the cost, God became flesh and lived among us and gave his life, then conquered death through the power of his resurrection, not so that we could earn our salvation by being good. Our hope is in goodness, but it's not our goodness. Our hope is in the goodness of our God who gave everything to save us by his grace. And somebody ought to say amen to that. Our hope is in the goodness of God who gave everything. In other words, in Paul's words, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Now, the fake news that good people go to heaven, it's not new. That's not novel. That news, the good people go to heaven, has been around for a very long time. In fact, George Whitefield, who was one of the earliest Methodist preachers in the 1700s, a contemporary of John Wesley, George Whitefield said this: "What? Get to heaven on your own strength? Why, you might as well try to climb to the moon on a rope of sand. I like that. You might as well try to climb to the moon on a rope of sand. Our hope is in goodness, but it's not our goodness. But we can't leave off our very last verse of this passage. Here's what Paul says, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Do you see what Paul did here? He brings everything full circle. He says, your goodness can't get you to heaven. You can't earn salvation. But in Christ, His cross and resurrection, God has provided a way. God has created us anew, given us a clean slate, made us new from the inside out. God's grace has made it possible that we might be transformed. And as a result, we can do good things. Good things are not the precursor to our salvation, but they are a byproduct of it by God's grace. Of course, today is All Saints Sunday. It's a day where we remember all the saints of our church, those who have been saints in our lives, those who have lived the faith before us and have now gone on to their eternal reward. Saints become saints because God creates us anew. Saints become saints not because they achieve something, but because God's goodness and God's salvation and God's work of transformation, God is the one who makes saints. And then those saints can go on to do wonderful good as a result of God's grace. God makes even us into saints by the power of His grace. And while all those saints that we're going to remember today, while their time on earth might be over, their influence and their impact and their life is not over. These saints have graduated from the church here on earth to the church triumphant in glory with our Savior. Death is not the last word for them, not because of their goodness, but because of the infinite goodness of Christ our Savior. And that is our hope too. Forget fake news. I'll take that good news any day of the week. Let us pray together. God of grace, we can never say thank you enough for loving us, even when we were dead because of our disobedience and our many sins. Because you are so rich in mercy, and you loved us so much, God, you raised us to new life in Christ. Protect us from the fake news that any of that can be our achievement. And instead, help us to relish and rely totally on your amazing grace and goodness. Because, Lord, we know that is our only hope. And all God's people said, Amen.